WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/Twitch. You're allowed to interact with us live tonight because we got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got news, we've got notes, we've got SummerSlam Night 2 that we have to talk about, and oh, there were some choices made on that show. There were decisions that were made that, we're going to talk about. But anyway, let's get into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And we're going to jump right in because, well, we talked about it in the pre-show. But we're going to talk about it here, too. So ESPN and WWE have reached a landmark rights agreement as ESPN platforms become exclusive U.S. domestic homes of all WWE premium live events, including WrestleMania, starting in 2026. That's right. They are leaving Peacock, guys. It is a 5-year, $1.6 billion deal. ESPN DTC service is $29.99 a month. There will be a first-year bundle that will include Disney Plus and Hulu, now Delulu, for the same $29.99 a month. There will also be other pricing options. If you're a cable subscriber that has ESPN, this is going to sound really familiar, guys, just so you're aware, the new ESPN DTC service will be available for free depending on the provider. And that is a most likely. That is not a guarantee. There is no mention of the WWE library.
So there's only a few cable companies, Verizon and a couple others. Comcast has not agreed yet. But I would assume as we get ramped up with
that's
NFL,
when you get on your shit.
Once it launches in NFL and all the things, everyone will get on board. But continue.
Yes. There is no mention of the library that I believe is still being shopped. A select few events will be simulcast on ESPN linear networks. There is no mention for NXT as of yet. And like we said, it will start with WrestleMania next year. And according to Nick Khan, it's going to start as 10 events over 12 nights.
Which means
this is
SummerSlam and WrestleMania, the two night events. Going forward, those are your 12 nights as of now.
As of now. And this is big. This is absolutely huge, especially with all the streaming moves that have been announced. We have the whole Amazon agreement with Disney Plus, as well as doing it with Roku. We have Disney Plus and Hulu merging into one. And now we have this announcement. So there's a lot of shifting in the streaming world going on right now. And I think there's a little bit more that's going to happen. What's not mentioned yet, and has kind of been the bane of everybody's existence on Peacock as well as Netflix, is ads and ad revenue and advertising.
There are ads.
I don't know how that... There are ads? Okay. Like, I hadn't heard anything about it.
Based on everything I've read, I'll get the thing here in a second, because there is a FAQ about it, about their direct-to-consumer setup. Subscription details. Yes, like linear television, both plans will have ads during live events and studio shows. Bundles with options with Disney Plus and Hulu will be available with or without ads on those platforms. So
that makes sense, yeah, because like I said, Amazon and Disney have partnered to become like the world's premier ad platform, essentially. And so I would be shocked, because Disney owns ESPN or has a piece of ESPN, if there aren't ads. Obviously there will be a pay tier where you don't have to worry about it, but nobody's going, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but specific individuals, me, will be paying for that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be what the current setup is for WWE ads, where they run between matches and stuff like that. There was talk of having, because to break it, some of it down, where was it? The select few events on the simulcast on the ESPN linear networks, I would say that's probably one of your lower end events. There was also talk of, I don't know who said it, but someone, might have been Mark Shapiro, talked about, maybe one of them did, talked about how like 1 hour of a WrestleMania could be on linear ESPN television. Like maybe a pre-show hour, because there's pre-shows going to be involved. So like the pre-shows could feature matches on ESPN leading into the main show. Like that is something that could happen.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So there's a lot to get into with it. There's a lot of, so they could have taken more money with what they said. They had a larger offer, but they went with ESPN based on, and it was a slightly higher rights fee. But because of the brand of ESPN, the reach of ESPN, and the platform, and the strategy, they went with ESPN for this deal. Which means the NXT PLE rights are still available, probably with the catalog of some sort. The archive library still has some sort of deal, which there's talk it could be a YouTube thing, where WWE archives are put on YouTube, based on how well the things are going. Because they've been adding a bunch of stuff on YouTube already for archive content, but when all the archive content comes out, like they probably have a deal with YouTube, be like, hey, this is the percentage we get, ad revenue, yada yada yada. It may benefit them in the long run. So this is a big deal. It's a big move they made. Many thought it was going to go to Netflix. A lot of us hoped it would have gone to Netflix. So it was just one thing to worry about. But if it ends up being free based with cable service, that's fine. That works. It's the same setup. Who knows? Netflix could get the archive rights for the library. Peacock could still retain all that because they're still making money off of it. I don't know. It's a big deal.
I think it kind of depends realistically on whether WWE, whether Peacock, whether really any, like who basically sees the value in the archive and if they can monetize it. I think honestly their best bet for the archive would be to like just put it out on YouTube and just put advertising, like put ads on it. And that's probably going to be how they're going to make the most off of it that they can. Just because here's my thing, right? We all love the, and I am not, I repeat, I am not talking shit about the library, okay? I want that to be abundantly perfectly clear. I know some people go back. I know they watch the library. I know they're big into watching the older stuff, and this is not a slight at you. But WWE is all about monetizing and profiting off their content and what they have. And realistically speaking, in terms of people going back and watching that content, I don't know what the profit margin is on that and whether it's significant enough for them to get a deal that's worthwhile for them from like a Netflix or from a Peacock, right? Even though there's probably 100 years worth of content there, it's again, the viewer rates and really how many people are interacting with it. So that's why I say the best bet is to probably just put it out there for free, put ad revenue on it and go from there. And then you can base it, engage it on there, unless they could work a deal with like YouTube where it's a feature that's available just on premium. And like somehow you get access to that content if you have like YouTube premium, which I don't know if they could do. I don't know if that would be a thing or not.
You can make it the YouTube membership, whatever. You could put it behind a paywall.
Yeah, you could paywall it, which there's nothing wrong with that. And that's one way to get away with it. And they may do that. But in terms of like selling it to a Netflix, because Netflix would see value in the content, but I don't know if they would necessarily make a lot of money off of it. And the same thing for Peacock, they could keep it.
Yeah, Netflix has a bunch of raw content, not everything. They didn't put everything up, but they put up handful here and handful there.
They put up, and they didn't, it's like the last few years of Raw, right? It's or what they already have plus like backtracking a little bit. It's not
yeah the first
like 20 years of Raw.
No, it's not even that. It's some episodes from 93 to like 2002 and then we go to 2022.
Okay, yeah. So it's there, but again, like I said, it's all about viewership. It's all about profitability. So and that we could get surprised because I don't think anybody heard about this. I don't think anybody knew this one was coming. Like Brock mentioned, we were all expecting this to go to Netflix because we knew the Peacock deal was coming up. We knew that they were likely not going to stay with Peacock, which is awesome because I can cancel it. I don't have to pay for it anymore, which is great.
Not till next year. Not till next year.
Not till next year. But, you know, I kind of pay for it. I get it through my internet. But anyway, the point is that we all knew that it was likely moving, and with the way that they have the international setup, it was, well, Netflix is going to get it, right? Because that makes sense, because Netflix has the international deal for all the PLEs. They shift all of that onto Netflix, and all of it's there for them to have, but WWE doesn't like necessarily having all their stuff in one place, right? They like having multiple different avenues to get to their content. And so putting it on the ESPN app, especially at the launch, or not the app, but the streaming service, is a really interesting move because they are always at the forefront of that stuff. So they obviously see value in it. They see something there and they think this is going to be something big. And they're generally right about that kind of stuff. Nine times out of 10, they know what they're doing with this kind of thing. And so when they get on board with something like this, especially with the NFL there as well, it's like, okay, yeah, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be huge.
Yeah, because ESPN made a deal to acquire the NFL Network and the Red Zone. And Red Zone will be, everything with that will be moving there next year because it has to go through all the FTC stuff.
Legal.
Yeah. So that all launches will launch next football season if everything goes smoothly. But they've acquired that. So it was like you're launching WWE with them. You're launching NFL with them. And plus you have NBA, NHL, and a bunch of other things. I was going to ask, can you name all the platforms or networks WWE is on currently?
They are on CW. They are on USA. They are on Netflix. They are on Peacock. Domestic or international? Because I can't do international.
No, just on domestic.
Domestic is Peacock, Netflix, CW, and USA.
Incorrect. There's more. We got A&E content with the LFG and all the other stuff they produce. They're also on Tubi with Evolve. They're all over the place. Now with ESPN, yeah. That's the seven different platforms.
They're everywhere, man. They're everywhere. Well, actually, technically, I think it's the same because one is just transitioning to the other. Like Peacock is just transitioning over to ESPN.
You don't know that. No, you don't know that because they're still rights they can acquire.
Oh, trust me, I know. I know. They could stay on Peacock, but the stuff that I care about is potentially not staying on Peacock. So no, but don't worry about it.
But no, NXT stuff could be moving there. That's what I mean. Like, you still have that. They're going to market then AAA content. So that's going to be another platform. Who knows? TNA could take a Peacock deal. There's a lot of things up in there now. Opens a lot of different things.
There are a lot of things.
But yeah, they're all over the place.
They just making moves, man. They just making moves.
They are.
Which is, I respect. You know, you gotta keep your house in order.
You do.
So good luck to them. We will see where it goes. Moving on. Oh boy. And for the record, I am not going to be the on-site correspondent for this. Somebody else can go. I understand it's boo-boo related, but I do not do scary shit, just so everybody's clear. The Wyatt Six are getting their own feature for the Halloween Horror Nights 2025 at Universal Studios, Florida. This is cool to me. This is really, really cool because it's something a la like what they did for The Undertaker a long time ago. And they're doing it again for the Wyatt Six. So the Wyatt Six is a professional wrestling group that blends the surreal with the sinister. The group is made up of five members, Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, Dexter Loomis, Joe Gacy, and Nikki Cross. Each character is a real-world embodiment of the puppets from the late Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse TV segments. Wyatt, the real-life brother of Bo Dallas, turned heads of WWE. Yeah. We all love boo-boo. What are you doing for them? Do you have anything? They have a trailer. But essentially, they are getting their own feature, which is insane.
That is insane.
And awesome.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Another thing for WWE, just growing it.
I think we all figured it was coming. Like, I think we all sort of, like, knew that potentially they were going to get their own thing at some point. Because I think it was talked about for Bray that he was potentially going to get his own thing. But I don't know.
I don't know. But now that with their licensing everything, it kind of makes sense. So... congrats.
Yeah, congrats to them. Way to go to them. Very, very happy for them. I will, like I said, I will not be going because Mama does not do scary things at all. Do not like, do not want. And if Brent tries to pressure me, throw tomatoes at him. I don't know.
I mean, there's only one state away.
Yeah, but that state is Florida.
I know, but I could also say the same thing for California because it's on both sides.
Yeah, it's going to be at Florida and it's going to be at Hollywood, but...
I mean, that's only one state away for Brent, too.
Brent would go because I think Brent's into that kind of stuff.
He could go.
He could speak for himself.
He could go. He could take a day off and go, but, you know.
You know, he should take a day off and go. It would be good for him. It would be nice and healthy for him, but he's not going to. But anyway, if you're into that kind of thing, if you're into the spooky scary... go check it out. It will be at Halloween Horror Nights 2025. Moving on to AEW, All Elite Wrestling announced that the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey will host AEW Full Gear on Saturday, November 22nd. The event will air live around the world on pay-per-view. Tickets for AEW Full Gear will go on sale Monday, August 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern via Ticketmaster and AEWTix.com. So go get your stuff. Oh, he's here! Hi, Brent. If it was funded, you go. How do we set up a dono to send Brent to Halloween Horror Nights? How do we do that? Is that a thing?
Just send me money instead. We'll go to a better cause.
you heard the man.
Anyway, moving on. Another pay-per-view.
On to another pay-per-view. He says, AEW World's End will take place on Saturday, December 27th at the Now Arena in Chicago. Shocker, they're going back to Chicago. It is a suburb of Hoffman Estates, Illinois. No word on tickets going on sale yet, but I'm sure it will be very soon.
Correct.
So go get your stuff if you're interested in it. And Tom Hennepin and Matt Renvolt will remain across the line as TNA Wrestling has extended contracts of both announcers. So good for them.
Congrats to both of them. They're the voices of TNA Wrestling.
The changeover has happened. It's no longer Mike Tenay. Because he retired, didn't he?
It's been forever since it's been Mike Tenay. It's been at least a decade.
Forever. It's been forever since I've watched TNA.
It's at least a decade. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched TNA. But yes, go check it out. Go support them. Go celebrate. It's a good time had by all. Blame Brents, since he's here.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
All righty. Well, we has a doozy. The ring general, Gunter, has suffered an injured nose.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He's about to surgery and stuff, and he's going to be out of it for a bit.
Which sucks. You hate to hear about that for him, but hopefully he recovers and everything's just fine.
Indeed.
Alrighty, so with that, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about SummerSlam Night 1, or excuse me, Night 2, because we've already talked about Night 1. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you haven't have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about SummerSlam Night 2, because we talked about Night 1 on Saturday. As we mentioned, choices were made. Do we want to save it for do we want to do it now, or do we want to talk about it at the end?
It's up to you. I had reverse muted. It's up to you. I've talked about it. It's on you.
Let's save it for the end.
Okay.
So, opening this show in a rather hot and fantastic fashion was Naomi versus Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky in a triple threat for the Women's World Championship. We knew this was going to be good.
We did. I like that Naomi's father played her to the ring. That was cool.
That was sweet.
And you knew at that moment she wasn't losing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to have her lose in front of her father. That's not going to be a thing.
So it was a good match. Was it as good as some of the other triple threat matches this year with the women? No, because they set high standards before. But it was a really good match.
To me, it met every expectation.
Yeah.
And I can't complain about that. Like, to me, it was, they worked very well together. The drama was all there. The stakes were all there. You had the sort of the frenemy relationship between Io and Rhea. You had the chaos that Naomi brings. You have just everybody doing everything, everybody pulling out every stop. They knew they were opening and they pretty much said, hey, follow this. Because they were going in front of the TLC and Becky and Lyra were following the TLC. So they went out there and they put out all the stops, I feel like, in this to make this as good as it possibly could be.
I agree.
But in the end, thankfully and not a surprise, Naomi did retain the championship, which I felt like was the right call. And that's not to offend Rhea or Io, but you quite literally just put the title on Naomi. It doesn't make any sense to me to take it off of her.
Not at SummerSlam, no. It was not needed to take it off of SummerSlam.
So I'm very happy that they left it on her for this and just sort of, you know, are letting her move forward and letting her cause chaos, you know, like she does.
Like she does. And yeah, it was a good match. The ending was good. It was a good opener.
As we like to say, I think it did everything it needed to do.
Yeah.
And that's really the best you can hope for.
It pretty much is, yeah.
Moving on to this match. This clusterfuck of a match. Holy shit. You want to talk about having to follow something? You had the Wyatt Six, Dexter Lumis, and Joe Gacy, although the whole family got involved.
Everyone was in that match.
Andrade and Rey Fenix, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa with Candice LeRae at one point, Fraxium, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and the Street Profits, Angela Dawkins and Montez Ford, competed in the 20th anniversary, 25th anniversary
25th.
Of the tape. I'm sorry? 25th anniversary of the TLC match. And they did it in front of the Hardys and the Dudleys. E and C were unavailable for obvious reasons. And yeah, everybody in this match pretty much tried to kill each other. I mean, there's no good way to put this. We had table towers. We had bodies flying everywhere. We had chairs. We had ladders. We had just massive levels of stupidity. Candice LeRae went through a ladder.
She did. She took a big fall through a ladder.
Which, good on her. And then all the dudes stood there and they were like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was a clusterfuck. There was so many people you couldn't keep track. B-Fab, Candice, Nikki, Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, everyone who was anyone got involved in this match. They took crazy spots. Tommaso hanging from the thing was insane. Just, yeah, it was a spot fest. There was a car crash. It was everything you expected tables, ladders, and chairs could be. It gets overdone. It gets, you can say, because they've done ladder matches and you get clusterfucks like that all the time for a long, long period of time. So when it does. But with WWE, it's rare. It's the second one this year. I'm kind of good not seeing another one from it because we just came with Money in the Bank a couple months ago. So it's like, yeah, multi-man ladder matches, good with. All in all, everyone survived, and came out in one piece, so.
Yeah, no injuries, which is always amazing in this type of match, and always a good thing when you hear that, when they're like, oh yeah, everybody was fine, nobody got hurt, because you watch them do this, and you're like, ooh, that's gonna smart in the morning, like, that's not gonna feel good, but somehow they all came through it, and they're all okay.
Luckily,
which is the best you can hope for.
It is the best you could hope for. Why it's retained, though.
Fantastic, huh?
Why it's retained, though,
in rather spectacular fashion, which I will not complain about in the slightest that they retained.
Tomas is hanging from the belt, but pulling himself up inverted to avoid a spear. Yeah, that was really creative. And yes,
yeah,
I know you corrected yourself, too, Brian.
Hmm?
I said yes, I know he corrected himself, but I was still giving him shit for the Tomas's.
That's his name now, Tomas's?
That's what it says in chat. Tomas's.
Tomas's? Tomas's, not Tomas's?
Yes.
But yeah, a fantastic... Like, if you want to watch anything from the show, this is a really good one to watch. Like, I would say this one and this next one are really fantastic ones to watch from this show. Because, yeah, I enjoy this thoroughly. And knowing they had to follow, and knowing that they had to stop the show... and just put everything out on the line. We had Becky Lynch taking on Lyra Valkyria in a no disqualification, no count out, last chance match for the Intercontinental Championship, the women's one. Where if Becky won, Lyra can no longer challenge for the title as long as Lynch is champion. And in reverse, if Lyra wins, Becky can no longer challenge for the title so long as Lyra is champion. This was... phenomenally good, which we all knew it was going to be. Like, walking into this, we said it last week, this is going to be amazing, and I'll be damned if they didn't disappoint. Like, they went out there and just knocked it out of the park. It was so good.
Were there some hiccups along the way? Yeah. Did certain handcuffs not work, like zip ties not work fully? Yes.
But they made it work, baby.
But they made it work. I thought the chair spots where she was wrapped in the chair was creative. I thought many of the zip tie spots were good, even though she kind of broke out of it and then was trying to get out of them again and kind of had to hide underneath the ring to get, like, poof, I'm out. I thought Bailey's involvement was well done. I liked the match. I liked one of the previous, I liked Money in the Bank better than this mm-hmm. one. But this was a really good match. Very enjoyable. It was fun.
I like the spot where after like the zip ties got put on Lyra, she was like struggling, like, what do I do? And so she's like trying to pick up like the extinguisher with the zip ties, and at one point Becky's got her tied to the ring post by the zip ties and is just walloping her. Like, it was all really, really well done. I liked Bailey, like you said. I liked how she got involved in it, and ultimately, like, you're gonna move Bailey on, or you're going to move Lyra on to Bailey, and they're going to fight, and then you're going to move Becky on to somebody else.
Which is Nikki Bella.
Which is Nikki Bella. That's going to be an interesting one. Not sure how I feel about that yet. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, this to me, like, this whole series is like a feud of the year contender, but this match was at least a match of the night for me. Like, this was, like, the TLC in this were probably my matches of the night. These were just really, really good. And I kind of hate that they were on the same show. I kind of wish one of them was moved to night one and they had moved one of the tag matches onto this show. Like, just flipped it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just because it's like you had three really solid offerings right off the bat, and then you kind of like went into the back half of the show and you were a little tired. Like, you were a little fatigued from it. Just because it's like, oh god. And granted, they kind of cooled it down, but they kind of didn't cool it down, because the one after this was also good and also entertaining, and you had a lot of shenanigans in it. But like, I feel like you could have like moved some stuff around and had like one of the tags or had something else here to sort of balance, and it would have been good, because this was very clearly, and we talked about this on Saturday, where when you do a two-night show, you want it to feel balanced. You want both nights to feel balanced, and you want both nights, you don't want one night to eclipse the other. And at least to me, and I saw a couple other people saying this as well, night two of SummerSlam eclipsed night one in terms of what it offered, what it delivered, and how it all went down, just in terms of all the surprises and everything. So I think you could have done a little bit better job balancing the two. Not to say night one was bad. Night one was fine. But this you could tell was the bigger night. Or maybe they were just hyped up. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah. Becky and Lyra, chef's kiss. And as a result, to my surprise, Becky won.
Becky did win.
So Lyra can no longer challenge because Becky is still champion.
Correct.
Our next offering was Solo Sikoa defending his United States Championship against Jacob Fatu. And of course, everybody from the Island of Relevancy and beyond got involved in this. No shocker there whatsoever.
Nope.
Like, just everybody rolled up, y'all. Just everybody rolled up to this one on both sides. And yeah, as a result, Solo won by escaping the cage. That wasn't too big of a shock, at least to me, because I think Solo to win. And so you move Jacob Fatu on to other things. This was good, but like I said, I was a little fatigued by this point. So yeah. I was like, I just need a break.
I can see that. It was a solid cage match. I was kind of surprised Solo retained. But then they put the heat, they gave him the big pop with the moonsault afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you could have just done that in the match and then had Solo escape as that move was happening. Would have played better, but they booked it as they did. It was fine. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. It was just a match.
It was indeed a match, which hopefully this is the end and hopefully everybody
It probably is not. It's going to continue.
But why?
Because Solo won. That's why.
But Jacob could just, you know, leave it and go on to bigger and better things. It'll be fine. Just let him have it. Just let him have it. It's fine. Anyway, moving on. I didn't realize it until watching the pre-show, because I don't think they ever said it on TV, or if they did, I missed it. But apparently it was the 20 or 25th.
20.
So we had two anniversaries. 20th? This was the 20th? Mm. This was the 20th anniversary of the Dominic on a pole match. And so they took full advantage of it, of Dominic Mysterio hyping that up when he was challenged by AJ Styles for the Men's Intercontinental Championship on this show. Because I saw it in the pre-show where they had it in one of the packages where they were showing Baby Dom. And I was like, oh, it's Baby Dom. They're doing a throwback. How nice. I did not realize, because I swear to God, they didn't say anything on TV about it. Like, it never came into the feud. Not once. And then all of a sudden AJ Styles is rolling out in a low rider dressed as Eddie Guerrero, and his son is dressed as Baby Dom, complete with bleached hair. Like, epic level troll on both their parts. I was so proud. But this has been a fun little view, because we've gotten to see like quirky sides of AJ's personality, where he's been sort of chasing Dom and Dom's been avoiding as the good cowardly heel. You've seen AJ do all kinds of spare jobs around WWE just so he can get close to Dom and see if Dom is in fact healthy for the match. And it sort of culminated where Dominic quit playing possum and officially said he was healthy and he was ready to defend his title against AJ Styles. And this was a good contest. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
It was fine. It was fun, but I'm over the Eddie tributes. I'm just over them. It's not a tribute anymore. It's just repetitive. Everyone's doing his moves. It's like they said. So yeah, if it's because it's Dom, he deserves it. But he's done it though. We've been there, done it. We've hit 20. Can we cool it?
Don't we have to get through November?
Yeah, but it's not a tribute anymore. There's no tributes. It's just doing his stuff. And when everyone does his stuff, it's just doing his stuff. If there was 2 years between people doing his stuff, not 2 months, then be like, hey, that's cool. But every 2 months, someone's doing his stuff in every promotion. It's repetitive. It's not creative anymore. That's me. The match was fine, but it's just, I'm tired of the repetitive tributes, because we've seen it over and over and over again. And it's always the same stuff. So everyone does the chair bit. Everyone does the three amigos. It's all the same bit.
I can respect that.
But anyway. Dom retained.
I can definitely. Dom did, in fact, retain. So go, Dom. Whee! And the Judgment Day, at least the boys all kept their gold. The ladies, not so much. But the boys all kept their gold. And then we have our main event, which was a street fight for the Undisputed Championship. Cody Rhodes took on John Cena, who has now turned back babyface again for the title.
I really like
this
match.
They did a lot more. Sorry, go ahead.
I really like this match. I thought when they turned John back on Friday, where they basically said, Dwayne Travis fucked off, and I got left with the bag, and here we are. Because that's basically what happened. They had a falling out with Travis Scott, and Cena was left holding the bag for the heel turn. But they worked hard. They went 30-something minutes. They pulled out finisher after finisher after finisher after finisher after finisher. John was having fun. You could see it on his face. He was having fun. The smirks. He was enjoying himself. It's the best match since he's been back. It made up for WrestleMania, which was very obvious. It was a lot better. Them brawling through the crowd and then coming up through the Cody elevator was cool. The lighting was stupid, but it worked. I thought the avalanche AAs, all the spots they did, they kept it high alert, high drama. It was a really good match, and if that was John's last match, it's not. But if it was, that's like a retirement match.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like that at the end, where you had Cody and Cena embrace, and you had Cena give Cody the title in a very honorable fashion, where it was the proverbial passing of the torch from John Cena to Cody Rhodes. And if that's one to go out on, that's a good one for John to go out on. John did a lot more than I thought he would do. And that's not a slight at him. It's just we all know his limitations. And so for me personally, I didn't think he was going to go that far with it. So good on him for doing it. Because like I said, I honestly didn't think or didn't believe he was going to go that far with it. Just in terms of all of the moves he took, they tried to put each other through tables. They went the crowd surfing a couple times. There was just chairs. There were all kinds of things. Like, they just went there with it. They said, you know what? We're going to go out there and we're going to have a fucking good match and nobody can stop us. And that's exactly what happened.
They had a point to prove. They had to make up for WrestleMania, and they did.
And they did. And good on them for it. So I have very, very, very few complaints about the match itself. Like, the match itself was fine. You have Cody at the end. Like I said, he and Cena embrace.
Also, crowd
Cody
was
leaves.
Crowd was pro Cena for 90% of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And I think part of the reason why they had to turn Cena back was just he was naturally being turned back by the crowd. Like, he was doing such a good job with it that people were starting to like him again. And so it's like, you can't really fight that.
No, you can't.
And so he can still be, like, essentially Dick John Cena, like what he's been doing, but he's just now liked by the crowd. So essentially, I guess he's the John Cena version of Kevin Owens. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But then after the match, we have John Cena standing in the ring, and he's basking in the crowd, and he's being cheered. And then a theme none of us thought we would ever hear again in WWE played. A specific beast incarnate made an appearance, and he came down to the ring. And he beat up John Cena.
He did beat up John Cena.
He mugged for the camera, and he left.
He did.
That was a choice. I'm not sure yet if it was a good choice, but it was a choice. Whether you understand the implications in the situation or not, and we're not going to go into that. We're not going to talk about that part of it. But it was a choice, and it's been met with a very mixed reaction.
Yes.
To the point that there's been a little bit of backpedaling going on with it, because people are not happy about it, and rightfully so. So we will see where Bold Bites Disney and ESPN to promote that return on television, as well as considering everything. I mean, I'm not going to go into it. Like I said, choices have been made.
I'll say this: ESPN has promoted worse.
This is true. This is very true. They have. I personally don't like the choice. I was kind of glad that he was never going to come back. And we'll see where it goes.
You see how it plays out. That's the best way to put it. You see how it plays out. You don't know how long he's back for. He could be back for one match. He could be back for full time. Who knows? Everyone's entitled to... Well, he's never full time. But... Everyone's entitled to an opinion. If you hate it, you hate it. Don't watch it. Don't support it. And you go from there.
Yeah. So that was SummerSlam.
It was good. Good show.
Overall, it was a good show. It was an entertaining show. It was a little off balance. Like I said, there were things that I kind of would have moved around between night one and night two just to sort of like have balance, because night one was super tag heavy and night two was just super insanity heavy in terms of run-in shenanigans and violence. So you could have moved some stuff around and it would have been okay, because night one didn't have a lot of stipulations on it. It was just a bunch of pretty much straight up matches, whereas night two had all the stipulations. Which it's kind of weird that it balanced out like that, but okay. But yeah, for the first two-night SummerSlam, because this was the first, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. The only real complaint I had about it was the pre-show starting at 3, but I didn't mind the fact that the show started at 6. I actually kind of liked that the show started at 6 because it was over by like 10.
It was over by like 9:40.
Yeah, like 9:30, 9:45, somewhere in there. And you still had essentially the rest of your night to do whatever you wanted, which was super duper duper like nice. And then it's like, because you could sit here and you could eat dinner and you could watch the show while you were eating dinner, and then you could enjoy the show, and then you're done by like 9:30, 9:45, and you can go watch movies, or you can go play video games, or you can go listen to one of the fine quality podcasts on Wild Talk Radio. You know, all our awesome shows where we talk about stuff. But you had that option, which I like, and also it got people out in terms of Jersey at a reasonable hour for them to get back to the city, because they did have a little bit of a haul if they lived in New York.
Yes.
But they were very cognizant about time. And I know it had everything to do with the fact that UFC was going on after.
Well, that was for Saturday. But I don't mind it. Sunday, no. So.
Well, Sunday is just consistency. Like, you start Saturday at 6, you do Sunday at 6. And plus, it's a school night, at least for here, because we start stupidly early here. But, like, for some places, it was a school night. So it's good that the kids can watch wrestling and then go to bed at a decent time and then be ready for school the next day,
yeah.
Which I'm sure parents appreciated.
Noon
for the West Coast will be hard, but yeah, we're done. So you have stuff to plug. So plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio Sunday, WTR Sunday, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back for the Raw post show every Monday night. Whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we'll have to talk about around 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. Check out our first, The Rack Extra Review SummerSlam, Night 1, all available right now. Wherever you get your podcast, just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RockAndTalk or
Lynn's M Ward.
In the Fortnite app shop, would you buy your Fortnite crew and all your battle passes? Because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@Lynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok at Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
My style is the bomb, the bomb, the dang, the dang. WildTalkRadio.com.